Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder.
There was once a dream. You could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast. The podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith. Rust.
Well, if it isn't the Star-Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Hello, Neverlanders. Take your pixie out of your pocket and sprinkle some pixie dust around because your host, the Spider-Pan Jeremy, is here again to lead you to Neverland. And we've got our favorite helper. Well, one of our favorite helpers. I better say that the Wendy nerd is Heather is my favorite or I'm going to get in trouble. But our other one is Lost Boy Retlaw. Hooray! It's Eric.
Hi.
Warren. He's back again.
How's everyone doing?
Well, hopefully they're doing good, and if they're not doing good, they're about to be doing good, because we've got a lot of stuff here to go through today.
Well, you know, I do have to say that the grammarian in me here has to come out. You're never doing good unless you're actually out and about doing good for people around you. We're all doing well.
Well, sure, okay. If we want to be grammar police, I guess we could, yeah, I guess you're right.
I got that from Weird Al anyway, so.
Well, of course, yeah. But we have some very interesting movie news to discuss that I'm sure most people are familiar with. But when we get to it, I'm sure you're all going to be like, yeah, I already knew that. But still, we're going to talk about it. We also have two new trailers to review in the Neverland Trailer Park. Exciting stuff there. I'm going to talk a little bit about, we have a little bit of Disney game news. And of course, we're going to visit the Neverland Story Time with an adventure with the gummy bears, which is actually very appropriate for one of the guests we've got coming. We have some ride audio that Eric has shared with us from his last one of his trips to Disneyland of the Tower of Terror, just to scare you a little bit. But then, of course, we have two fantastic guests that I'm squeezing in, not at the same time, but Katie Lee, which if you don't remember everything she's done, she will tell you all the wonderful things she's done. And she's got something really cool she's worked on that you're going to love to hear about and going to want to get a copy of. And then, of course, for the first time, I got to speak with Yeehaw Bob. And if you don't know who he is, you're going to find out by the end of the show. Sound like I got enough stuff packed in here today?
I think we do. I think there's plenty to go around.
Oh, yes. And because there's so much to go around, I say we get started with some movie news.
Your attention, please.
Disney movie news.
Okay, now I can't say this is very surprising because we did hear that Disney did get the licensing from Paramount to be able to do one of these, but they finally announced July 19th, 2019, Indiana Jones 5, for lack of a better title. And it's nice they're going to have Harrison Ford back, although granted, I mean, 2019 when this comes out, they'll probably film this, if not 2017 or 2018, and isn't he already over 70?
He is, he is. In fact, he's older than Sean Connery was when they filmed Last Crusade.
Well, he is one of the toughest buggers you'd ever see, so, you know, maybe he can still hold in there.
Well, you know, he can walk away from a plane crash, he can walk away from breaking his leg. Yeah, he even you know, managed to get away from those rat scars.
Yeah, although he didn't quite escape his own son, you know, kind of had some father issues, I guess.
Better left unsaid.
Better left unsaid. But this is going to be produced by Kathleen Kennedy, which is always good. She's always working with Steven Spielberg, who's going to direct. No mention of George Lucas having anything to do with this, which wouldn't surprise me, because after all, Disney owns it, and so George really doesn't have a say anymore, which may be a good thing, because I've been reading all day here, well, Saturday as we recorded it, there's been people who have been, oh no, this is terrible, but David Koepp is now going to write this, and people are upset because he wrote Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. But let's look at it this way. He's also wrote the screenplay for Jurassic Park and Spider-Man and a lot of other successful movies. He actually is a good writer. I think the only thing that went wrong with Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, because I did like it, but the aliens being the whole thing was kind of... It didn't feel Indiana Jones. It felt out of place.
Right, right. And, you know, there was just something, you know, that... Not quite right, but you know what? It's still a, you know, a good movie.
Yeah,
and I'll put my name there out there in a bit. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty solid. I laughed. I mean, I really loved the part where they're sinking in quicksand and Shia LaBeouf throws the big python out there. Here, grab that. Say it's a rope. It's a rope.
But you know, I'm looking forward to it. I've been an Indiana Jones fan since I was little. I can't wait to see what comes next.
And, you know, there was all those rumors years ago about a possible script dealing with the lost city of Atlantis. I would still like to see that.
Well, you know, I enjoyed LucasArts' Fate of Atlantis.
That's true.
The Indiana Jones game. You know, Telltale Games has been, you know, doing these, I don't know how you describe them anymore, but these games where you click and pick up things and you interact with things with... You know, Back to the Future and The Walking Dead and Fables. And I'm excited to, you know, that came from the Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
Or the LucasArts games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did play one of the Indiana Jones games, and it's definitely, I think, was better than anything I've ever played of a Tomb Raider game, because it's the original guy. So I would like to see some more games made by them, because that was a really tough game. I don't remember which one that I used to have on the Xbox. I don't have it any longer, but hopefully it was challenging.
This was way back. You had to play it on the PC.
Yeah, because it was point and click.
Exactly.
But yeah, so definitely we're looking forward to this, but we have a long time to wait.
Right.
So while we're waiting, let's go visit the Neverland Trailer Park.
Mama, now the gator got you in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that shovel. Come here.
Get him, Mama. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
Come with me. There's a place I go when I want to be alone.
There's a new world coming. And it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming. This one's coming to an end.
How did you...
Air. It's my peculiarity. If I show you the rest, you have to promise not to run away.
There's a brand new morning. Rising clear and sweet and free.
Jake, right on time. Miss Peregrine, delighted to meet you.
He's invisible.
Of course. We're what's known in common parlance as peculiar.
Claire, why aren't you eating?
She's embarrassed in front of Jake.
Don't be.
Because our abilities don't fit in the outside world, we live in places like this, where no one can find us.
Jake, come and play!
I knew you were one of us when you were born. It's time for you to learn what you can do.
But I'm just ordinary.
No, you're not. You were born to protect us. Promise me one thing. Look after them, Jake.
I promise.
Okay, so that was, let's see if I get this right, Mrs. Peregrine's School for Peculiar Children, or is it Home for Peculiar Children? I should have looked at that before I started, but yeah, basically this is Charles Xavier's School for Gifted Youngsters, only it's a Tim Burton film.
Right, right. And, you know, quite honestly, the vibe that I got from this, it's almost, it feels to me a lot like Big Fish.
I never actually saw that movie.
Yeah, and that's really one of my favorite Tim Burton movies. It's still, it's a distinctly Tim Burton movie, but it's not an over-the-top Tim Burton movie. You know, like Dark Shadows or, you know, Willy Wonka. Or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I mean. Yeah. But just the look and feel of what this trailer showed was incredible. And I'm really looking forward to learning more about this world and what Ms. Peregrine does and, you know, just what kind of peculiarities all of these children have.
Well, they're mutants, apparently.
some sort.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's I won't complain too much that this is, oh, look, I think I've seen this before, because really, since X-Men had a school for mutants with special powers, learning to use those special powers and do some good with it. But yet we got to keep kind of secretive because, you know, the world outside kind of hates and fears us for our powers. And then you mix that with a little bit of Unseen University from the Discworld book series, where you have a school of wizards where everybody's learning, you know, magic. Then you mix that together and you get Harry Potter. Harry Potter was pretty much a school for wizards, which kids that are born with these powers that they have to kind of keep secret because the outside world wouldn't quite understand it and would fear them because of their powers. So they go to school to learn how to use them. Oh, yeah, that was X-Men. And in fact, really, the three title characters in Harry Potter, let's face it, Ron was Han Solo, Hermione was Princess Leia, and Harry Potter was obviously Luke Skywalker. And heck, I'll even say Hagrid was probably Chewbacca. When I first saw the first movie, I actually didn't like it because I was kind of laughing at how similar it was to Star Wars. It felt like a ripoff, and I was waiting for somebody to tell me that Voldemort was actually Harry Potter's father. Mm. But I ended up liking the films later after I came back to it, and I actually went through the third book. You know, I did it out of order. I saw the first movie, then later on went through the third book after I saw trailers for Goblet of Fire because it actually kind of looked cool with a big dragon in there. So, you know, we've seen this sort of thing before, so... You know, my first reaction was, oh, look, it's another X-Men type of thing. So, but it's been done so many times now that I'm like, you know what, let's just see what Tim Burton does. And apparently this is a good book. So, you know what, I might have seen this before, but it looks cool anyway. So I'm just going to go and have fun.
Well, you know why you've seen it before. And you just described it. It's a Bildungsroman.
Now, I have no idea what that word means.
Well, here comes my English degree. A Bildungsroman is a story that is a coming of age tale set at a boarding school. And generally they, you know, historically they have not been, you know, a story about magic or peculiarities, but you know, if you think something like now my brain's shutting down on me, like Great Expectations, where Pip goes to this school and has to learn how to become a gentleman.
Yes, and get his heart broken repeatedly by a girl.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's got a very rich history, and certainly with a lot of, you know, with Hollywood, we've looked at every different permutation of what that coming-of-age story set at school can and will be. And, you know, again, this is another twist on that tale, and it'll be interesting to see what it is and how it works.
Yep. But speaking of a film like this, there was another trailer released for X-Men Apocalypse.
Doesn't it ever wake you up in the middle of the night? A feeling that someday they'll come for you and your children.
I feel a great swirl of pity for the poor soul that comes to my school looking for trouble.
Some believe that the first mutant was born thousands of years ago. He was some kind of god, and he's going to rise again.
You are all my children, and you're lost because you follow blind leaders. No more false gods. I'm here now.
He always had four followers.
Like the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Together, we will cleanse the earth to the strongest.
We'll take everything from them.
He means to destroy this world. Billions of people killed.
On sinking like stones, all that we fought for.
The world needs the X-Men.
You're gonna join them, aren't you?
You wanted me to get out of the house more, right?
It's all of us
against a god.
Let's go to war.
Forget everything you think you know. You're not students anymore. You're X-Men.
Everything they've built will fall!
This, I gotta say, this was a pretty exciting trailer.
Yeah, this got me a lot more excited than the last one. And certainly with the introduction of the new mutants like Psylocke and reintroduction of Angel. And it looks like, you know, I could be wrong, but it looks like Magneto's there as one of Apocalypse's horsemen.
Yes, Magneto is supposed to be joining on his side. And it was also nice to get a good look at Nightcrawler, although I kind of got a look at Nightcrawler. I have a photo which I'll be sharing later when this movie comes out and we review it. When I saw Zootopia, they had a nice stand-up. You could stand amongst the X-Men, and Nightcrawler was on there.
Ah.
So I did get to see him in this trailer. So, you know, I like Nightcrawler. I'd like to see what he does with him. And I think there's a possibility for some very interesting, character development or conversation that could happen in the movie when you've seen the clips before, like, oh, well, I think maybe the Bible got their ideas from Apocalypse or something. And you have Nightcrawler, who is traditionally a very solid, faithful type of character, like solid Catholic character. I would like to see some dialogue going on about that, about his point of view of things compared to like their point of view of who Apocalypse is and stuff like that.
Well, as long as he doesn't make constant references to his being in the circus, as he did in X-Men 2, I'll be happy with that.
Yeah, although I did like seeing Nightcrawler in that movie, just because Nightcrawler is a cool character. I really like him.
Oh, definitely.
So, yeah, I'm sold. I will definitely be checking this movie out. Of course, I probably was going to check it out anyway, because it's the X-Men, for crying out loud. But I think this really did a good job of just building up the excitement, sort of like that that last Civil War trailer, where we kind of got an idea of the plot. Now they just need to build the excitement.
Right.
Alrighty, and we'll see what sort of fun trailers they might stick in front of Batman versus Superman, because I think they've built up my excitement. I kind of want to see it, even if I'm not expecting much from it. It's starting to look kind of cool to me.
You know, I actually caught myself by surprise. I went back to see Zootopia for a second time last weekend, and as I was walking out, I glanced over and realized, wait a second, Batman versus Superman is 2 weeks away at that time. And so, I don't know. My interest has definitely peaked. I don't know if I'll see it opening day, but hey, we'll see what happens.
Yep, and of course, expect a review right here on the Neverland Podcast.
Of course.
But now I think it's time for some story time. So welcome to the Neverland Story Time.
This is your Neverland Story Time. You can listen along with your MP3 device. You will know it is time to listen when you hear the chime like this. Let's begin now.
This is the story of Zummi's magic spell. You can read along with me in your book. You will notice time to turn the page when you hear the chimes ring like this. Let's begin now. Zummi Gummy, the amateur magician of the gummy bears, stood proudly in front of a candelabra.
Now watch, Kevin. I'm about to do my new lamp lighting spell.
The young boy was puzzled.
But I've seen you do magic before.
Yes, but from pieces of paper. This is a spell I learned by heart. Stand back. It may be dangerous.
The purple bear squinted his eyes, spun around once, waved his arms, and wiggled his fingers.
Flamite, flamame, numau!
One little candle on the end burst into a tiny flame. Zummi panted, exhausted.
Pretty good, huh?
That's great, Zummi. Let's go show the others.
Kevin grabbed him by the sleeve and dragged him toward the kitchen. But the other gummies had no time for magic tricks. Grammy was banging the water faucet with a saucepan.
It's a disaster! Our water just shut off, and we need that special pumpkin kind for making more gummy berry juice. Gruffy, see if you can fix this.
Gruffy looked at the dry tap.
This never happened before. Probably just a clogged pipe. I'll get some tools.
Zummi stopped him.
Since the water is pumped in, the problem could be at the source. Maybe some of us should go see.
Gruffy shook his head.
I say we all stay and dig.
He got a cold look from Grammy.
You can stay and dig up the countryside if you want, old fool, but I'm going with Zummi.
Back in the Gummy Glen Library, Zummi showed the others a map.
Here's where our water comes from. It's called a stumping station. A pumping station. It's by this river.
Little Cubby waved his wooden sword in the air.
Oh, boy, an adventure! To the quick tunnels!
Kevin wasn't too happy as he, Zummi, Cubby, and Grammy crawled into one of the many underground quick tunnel cars. This roller coaster subway scared him silly. The car rolled gently forward, then dropped with the speed of a rocket. Kevin screamed as they shot through the darkness at breakneck speed, banking around curves and doing loop-the-loops. As Kevin climbed wobbly from the car, he heard a loud rumbling.
What's that noise, Zummi?
Oh, the map shows a little waterfall at the pumping station.
But as they stepped into the daylight, they found themselves on one side of a river that thundered down for hundreds of feet. Grammy gasped.
A little waterfall?
Zummi was shaken.
The map shows the pumping station on the other side.
Cubby pointed to a narrow span of slippery rope.
Look! There's a bridge! We can cross the falls there!
Oh my goodness! This is terrible, terrible!
Zummi moaned as he looked from the skinny bridge down to the crashing water below. Cubby whispered to Kevin.
Zummy's scared of heights.
Zummi stepped out onto the wobbly bridge. Grammy shouted,
Don't look down! Just look at the trees on the other side!
He struggled halfway and then froze.
I can't move!
Kevin crawled over Zummi and bent down.
Here, climb on my back, Zummi. I'll carry you across.
The frightened bear almost choked Kevin doing so, but soon all were safe on the other side. Cubby pointed to a clearing.
Look, ogres! We must be in Duke Ickthorn's territory.
Grammy shushed him and peeked through the bushes at the ugly warriors.
Let's sneak around them and be on our way.
Soon, Kevin and the gummies were scampering down a flight of old stone steps. Zummi had his nose in the map.
I'm sure this is the right way to the bottom of the fall.
Zummi caught himself and teetered at the edge of a long drop. Kevin looked down.
Wow, these stairs have broken away. I guess we'll have to climb down by rope.
At the base of the waterfall, Cubby found a large, ancient door with a carved bear over it.
This must be the pumping station, right, Zummy?
Good work, Cubby. Now let me try my gummy medallion.
Zummy inserted it into the ancient lock. The massive doors swung open, and the bear stepped cautiously into the dark. Grammy took a torch from the wall. Zummy rushed up eagerly and grabbed it.
Let me light it with my magic. Lumite, numame, flumow. Flumite, lumame, numow.
Nothing happened.
I guess I got the words wrong.
Grammy snatched the torch away impatiently.
Very impressive, Zummy. Very impressive.
Then she lit it by hand. Zummy sighed. Inside, they found a gigantic room filled with huge wooden gears and thick metal pipes leading off in all directions. Grammy stared about in wonderment.
Gummy Bears built all this?
Zummy nodded, amazed.
Yes, and it's been running all these years without anyone tending it.
Until now.
Cubby gazed at the silent machinery. Kevin glanced around.
Zummy, could that be the problem?
He pointed to a log jammed into the enormous water wheel.
Yes, that's it. But how can we fix it?
The adventurous boy pushed up his sleeves.
Give me some gummy berry juice, and I'll climb up there and unjam it.
Soon he was maneuvering up the steep machinery. At the top of the water wheel, Kevin drank his little bottle of gummy berry juice. With a jolt, he became as strong as 50 men. Kevin took hold of the thick log, heaved, then his feet slipped. He fell, but then grabbed the wet rock and hung on. Slowly, he pulled himself back up and yanked at the log once more. This time, the log moved just as Kevin's strength wore off. A stubborn log slipped back into place. Everyone frowned, but then, under the pressure of the waterfall, the wheel slowly inched around and unjammed the log. Giant gears turned and water began to pump. Back in Gummy Glen, Gruffy peered into a pipe. Suddenly, a gush of water knocked him over. He struggled to his feet, sputtering.
I was right. I fixed it. Wait till Grammy sees this.
With the pumping station working again, the gummies and Kevin climbed back up to the top of the falls. Suddenly, two ogres slipped out of the shadows and grabbed the bears. Grammy shouted,
"Run, Kevin!"
The ogres chased the boy into the woods. Kevin quickly picked up a branch and tripped the first ogre. Cubby rolled free.
Thanks, Kevin. I'll take it from here.
Cubby drank his gummy berry juice and bounced down on top of the ogres, freeing Zummy and Grammy.
Get going, you guys. I'll meet you on the other side of the river.
Then Cubby led the ogres on a merry chase through the forest. Kevin and the gummies headed back across the rope bridge. Kevin looked back and saw Cubby bouncing across the bridge with the ogres right behind him.
We've got to cut the ropes.
Zummy cleared his throat.
Maybe I could try burning them.
Oh, honestly, Zummy.
Grammy scowled, but Kevin beamed.
That's a great idea. I know he can do it.
As the ogres thundered across the bridge, Zummy panicked.
I can't do it, Kevin. I'll never get it right.
Take a deep breath and relax. You know that spell.
So Zummy concentrated.
Lumite, flumame, numow!
The ropes burst into flame. Cubby leaped into the air just as the burning ropes snapped. The bridge dropped and the ogres toppled into the swirling waters below. As Cubby came down, Kevin leaned over the cliff and caught him. Grammy slapped Zummy on the back.
You did it, Zummy! You're a real wizard after all!
When the travelers returned home, Gruffy was waiting for them.
I guess you know you wasted your time. I fixed the water myself.
Grammy shook her head.
Gruffy, as usual, you don't know what you're talking about.
And she left him, sputtering in the doorway. The others were exhausted from their long trip, but Zummy was feeling very good about himself. Tommy noticed.
Say, Zummy, did you ever get the hang of that lamplighting spell?
Zummy smiled. With a simple wave of his hand, every candle in the main hall burst into glowing flame. The little wizard chuckled.
Yes, I suppose you could say I did.
All right, now that we've had our story, how would you like to get the bejesus scared out of you?
Oh, I already have.
Okay, well then let's take a ride on the Tower of Terror.
Excuse me? Make sure you're standing in the center.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone. Amid the glitz and the glitter of a bustling young movie town at the height of its golden age, the Hollywood Tower Hotel was a star in its own right, a beacon for the show business elite. Now, something is about to happen that will change all that. This, as you may recognize, is a maintenance service elevator, still in operation, waiting for you. We invite you, if you dare, to step aboard, because in tonight's episode, you are the star, and this elevator travels directly to the Twilight Zone.
Actually works, right? What? we go!
Much is clear. A reservation has been made in your name for an extended stay. Wave goodbye to the real world. For you have just entered the Twilight Zone. What happened here to dim the lights of Hollywood's brightest showplace is about to unfold once again. One stormy night long ago, five people stepped through the door of an elevator and into a nightmare. That door is opening once again. But this time, it's opening for you.
Okay, so we actually have some game news this week, but I was actually on the ball this week, and I managed to pick up Marvel Battlegrounds with the brand new Captain America the First Avenger figure. Did you get a chance to pick this up, Eric?
No, I have not. In fact, I only just recently picked up the Force Awakens playset for Infinity, so I'm still running a little behind.
I just picked up The Force Awakens a couple of weeks ago and played through it. That was a great one. Have you finished
Oh no, I'm still on Jakku.
Oh, still? Wow, you're still in the early stuff. Oh yeah, there's so much to do on Jakku though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't necessarily have to finish every side mission, but it's just fun to do it.
Mm-hmm. Almost definitely, and I'm having fun with it. But I am so excited to see what lies in store in Battlegrounds.
Oh yeah, I was kind of thinking I was going to be interested in this before, but on the Toy Box TV. When I was doing laundry Tuesday night, I guess it was. It was because I guess Tuesday was the release day. The Toy Box TV crew, they had a tournament over, I guess it's part of Disney Interactive or Avalanche, but they had a tournament, had a couple people from community, including Allison, who usually is on Toy Box TV, and I think another guy, I can't think of his name, who's usually on the Toy Box TV. But they had like their Q&A people and some other ones in teams, and they broadcast live, and I think you can still go and watch all this on YouTube somewhere. But they broadcast live where they had a tournament playing on Marvel Battlegrounds. And it reminds me a lot of... I'm sure you had to have played the... on Nintendo, they had the Bash Brothers. Is that what they call it over there? I haven't played one in a long while. Super Bash Brothers, you know?
Super Smash Brothers?
Super Smash Brothers. Thank you.
But yeah, got it, yeah.
And that's a lot of fun. And this is exactly what it reminds me of, except for it's more three-dimensional. You have a whole arena... It's a very interactive arena. You have buttons to press that cause different things that can hit your enemies. Sorry about whacking the microphone, folks. And there's so much different interaction. They've added the characters that you used to how you normally play with them on Disney Infinity. They've updated and modified them a little bit to where they gave everybody a throw technique, and so you can actually pick up the Hulk even if you're Black Widow, you could pick up the Hulk, really. You know, if he's blocking, hit your throw button. You can throw him, you know. But they've added new levels of the gameplay, and the only hiccup I've had is the only power disc you're able to use are team-up ones. And they did release a whole new set, which includes Darkhawk. For anybody who knows who Darkhawk is, I'm excited about that. I actually had to do a little bit of Wikipedia research to see what they've been doing with Darkhawk lately. And since he hasn't had his solo title, he's actually been... run around with Nova and popping up in all these other titles that I'm going to have to go check out now. But there's a power disc for Darkhawk, which is really cool. So I didn't like that I was limited to that one when I do versus, but when I do story mode, it'll randomly select a power disc of some sort for me to play with. But so far, every time I've started up, if I wanted to jump into versus, I have to actually go through every one of my Marvel figures, touch them to the base, and unlock them. How they have set this up to where it's supposed to be four players is that you just unlock all the figures and then you can put up to six power discs on both of those sides to play, have all these power discs pop up in the middle of the battle. Huh. And so four players can play on one console system because you're just going to select it, just like you would like Street Fighter. Once it's unlocked on there, you just go and pick who it is. And the nice thing is, as long as you have a Disney account connected with Disney Infinity, they have a trial character that will be around for like a week or so. And so you can go and try out other characters that you don't own. And also by playing through the main story, which the story, I tell you what, you can finish in about 5-10 minutes. Cool. It's very short, but it was fun. And it had probably one of the best boss battles I had, you know, fighting Ultron. Wow. It was a multiple leveled boss battle. It was flipping awesome. But I did complete it, you know, still probably about 5-10 minutes. But you gain these tokens, and you can use these tokens now to select and play as a character that you don't own and burn a token. So it's either you can use whoever the trial character is or burn a token to play as one of these characters. Or something else I've noticed, as I've been by myself and I was playing against computer opponents, I could either select my computer opponents, but I could only select characters I have. Or if I go into the center and choose random, the computer can actually choose a character that I have not unlocked and play as that character without costing me any tokens or anything. So I get to fight with these other characters that I don't own. I've been having a grand time. It can get, you know, repetitive because really you can just get in there and just button mash your attack button for a while. But, you know, basically then when they block, you just do a quick throw. So a lot of it can end up being that way. But you do still have to implement a bit of strategy and kind of dodge and avoid, especially if they decide to gang up on you. Right. But I've been having a lot of fun with it. I'm still exploring the concepts of how online play may work. I haven't, you know, I I know in the PlayStation you can set up a party, and I don't know if you could bring other people in on the party. PlayStation also has a thing that's a share play that I have not really gotten to try out yet, where you're supposed to have other people are supposed to be able to play whatever you're playing as if they were sitting next to you on your same console. So I'm hoping I can manage to do that and maybe even have some PlayStation 3 players be able to jump in, because I guess those players don't necessarily have to have the Battlegrounds game if they play as if they're on your console. So I haven't gotten to try that out, so I don't know exactly how that works. But this is definitely going to be a good area for online play, or just having all your friends together and bring their controllers and just go to town and have a lot of fun, because it is Super Smash Brothers with Marvel characters.
Well, it certainly sounds like fun. I'm looking forward to playing.
Oh, yeah, you're going to love it. And definitely hurry up while Toys R Us still has it for $20.
Definitely.
Because I noticed outside of that, they're selling it for about $30, a little bit more. And you know, basically nearly the same price as a regular playset, except for you're only going to get one character. And the playset is really not much for story, but it has a lot of replay value, especially there's these challenges that you unlock. That when you go and you play through the challenges, provided, of course, you play with the character, it says, hey, to unlock this item from the toy box, use this character. And I don't have that many of the Marvel characters, unfortunately, because during 2.0, I was kind of broke. But I'm going to fix that. I'm going to pick up some 2.0 characters. And, you know, Toys R Us frequently has buy one character, get with the other one like 50% off. So look for sales. And when you have some budget money, fill your collection of Marvel characters and grab as many of the Marvel team-up discs as you can to fully utilize everything that this is capable of, because there's a lot of replay value in this of just beating the daylights out of other Marvel characters.
All right.
To Disney and beyond.
Okay, Neverlanders, we have more guests coming in here this episode. We've had Katie Lee on here. This is going to be about the fourth time I think we've talked to you. But let's give everybody a quick recap on some of the things that all Disney fans and any other type of fan of animation are probably going to know you from. So what's a good rundown list?
Oh, well, there's Darkwing Duck. Hi, everybody. The Adventures of the Gummy Bears. There's Jim Henson's Muppet Babies. Let's see. What else? Space Racers now for the young ones on TV. But way back in the day, Totally Spies, The Mr. Men Show, Dumbo Circus on the Disney Channel. How's that?
A lot of stuff. So everybody should remember who you are. And last time we talked to you, you guys had just had a book. You and Will Ryan had written a book together called Adventures in Oddity, which I think some people expected a bit of a tell-all behind the scenes of Adventures in Odyssey. But really,
that's the next book.
That is the next book. Okay. But this was more just some fun kind of conversation between you two, and it's got a lot of humor and a lot of fun, and some stories of some interesting things you've done with traveling around the world. But the audio version is now coming out.
Yes, we're so excited. We went in the studio and we read it almost word for word, but we added a lot of fun stuff, and it's a lot more. There's a lot more music in it than the book, I can guarantee that. And yeah, we told a few more stories, we had a lot of laughs, and like you said, the premise of this book, it was for fun. According to Will, it was to disprove that in any way, shape, or form, Connie and well, that Katie and Will are anything like the characters they portray on Adventures in Odyssey, and we'll let the listener decide what they think about whether or not this premise was a truism or not.
I've read the book and I'm not telling.
Oh. Well, we're so excited. It's just got finished. You're really the first interview.
Ooh.
So, yeah, you got the scoop.
Yay!
Yeah, so we're going to have
a social media guy now, see?
I know, huh? Congratulations. Yay! Congratulations. Well, we had fun. We couldn't help getting a little intense, because, you know, when we were recording together in a very small booth, very close quarters.
You know, for anyone who might not be familiar with Will Ryan, we could run through a heck of a list of some characters he's played for Disney as well. I mean, my goodness.
Oh, Barney, yeah.
Giant. I believe he also voiced Pete in Mickey's Christmas Carol, didn't he?
Yep.
My goodness.
And you know, Get a Horse.
Oh, yes, right. He wasn't Get a Horse for Pete again, because I mean, I love Jim Cummings, But I think Will does Pete better. I don't know. I like it better. It's almost a different style of character between how Will was presenting him as more of the villainous type and Jim Cummings, who's trying to make him just that annoying, fun neighbor. So,
you know, and it all depends, in all fairness. It depends who hires them and why, and, you know, what's going on. When they did Get a Horse, it was the very, very old version, mm-hmm. and they were matching that style, and you know, Will got to do that. And some of the original voices were used, I think. And, I mean, hopefully you'll get Will on the show one of these days, and he can explain. Or maybe, because as Will says in our second book, when we return of Adventures in Oddity, he wants fans and listeners to ask their questions, and we'll actually answer them in this one. So,
ooh, the elusive Will Ryan actually answering some questions, my goodness.
That's what he said. That's what he promised. So, you know,
ooh, hey,
I'll hold him to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
My goodness, he's hard to get on anywhere because he's so busy with touring and has his music groups, and he's very talented. And, actually, somebody even shared on Facebook that they found like an early group that it was him and another guy.
Willio and Filio. Mm-hmm. Phil Barron, I'll just tell on him a little bit, but Phil and Will came to California to work for Disney's and do music. And Phil was also in Welcome to Boo Corner and Dumbo Circus. Did he work on Dumbo Circus? No, he worked on Welcome to Pooh Corner. But we found, thanks to YouTube, we've discovered old episodes of Teddy Ruxpin that we all worked on, too.
Wow.
Phil played Teddy, and Will played Grubby, and I was Princess Aruzia.
Oh, cool. I vaguely remember.
I know, right?
I didn't actually own any of the toys, but I remember the cartoon. I was like, hey, look, it's a cartoon.
Well, this wasn't the cartoon. This was a live action, sort of like Dumbo's Circus. And
really?
We found it on YouTube. Yeah, and when Will came over to record the book, when we were working on recording, I played it for him, and it was just the sweetest thing because he was this prince, and he saved me. Or maybe he was my brother. I don't know, but it was very sweet. And okay. We hadn't seen it.
I'm going to have to look that up now because I didn't know there was a live action. I remember the little animated thing that they did when the toys had came out
mm-hmm.
and they were going to do a little animated series. But
I think I posted it on my Katie Lee Voice Actor Facebook page.
Okay, I'll have to go look for that.
So you can look for that there.
I did see I got to bring this one up because, you know, being the Spider-Man junkie that I am, you technically have voiced Spider-Man.
I know, I saw that. I forgot.
But it's
Rolf the dog playing Spider-Man, right?
Yes. I think it must have been a promo or something for, like, Saturday morning cartoons that they would show, like, a Friday night before, because I don't remember that in any episode of the Muppet Babies.
No, it was part of an episode. No, it was a Muppet Babies episode.
Wow. Well, for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, but there was a clip where it had baby Rolf as Spider-Dog, and Skeeter comes out, and she wants to be Spider-Man. And then they actually have Spider-Man from Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends kind of animation style come out and said, but I'm Spider-Man. Then there's just a nice cameo.
It must have been an episode about superheroes. Yeah, I think Skeeter wanted to be Spider-Girl.
Oh, that's right.
She wanted to be Spider-Girl, so that was fun, and Stan Lee made a cameo in that. Yeah. So, by the way, when you talk about Will and his amazing talents, he has a band called Will Ryan and the Cactus County Cowboys, and his music is in the audio version of Adventures in Oddity. So you get to hear that, and a surprise impromptu tune we came up with one day when we were recording at Phil Lawler's house.
Ah. And I'm sure it's filled with some of his fun, invented words, right?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I have to tell you, there is a segment in the book, and just reading it is pretty funny, but trying to read it out loud, Will's names for future lunar states, it took us at least an hour to get through those, because every time he read one, Phil and I would crack up. I'd have to run to the bathroom. It would just kept going on and on. We barely got through that. And then even still, my dear husband, who's the editor of our project, he's very particular. He says, "We have to listen through again. We have to listen through again." I'm like, "No, please don't make me listen to that part. I have to run to the bathroom. It's so funny." But if you could, I don't know. If there's ever a real place named Flippy, I'm going to die. That's all. Flippy!
Yeah, and that was definitely one of my favorite parts of the book, is the list of all these lunar states.
I think I would call them lunatic states.
Oh, my goodness. So this is going to be available, and I'm sure you're going to have some links also through your website, right?
Yeah, voiceofyourchildhood.com, but it's going to be on Bandcamp, is where folks can get a hold of the downloadable version. But we're also producing hard copy CDs with artwork and stuff for our, the fans, people who like to collect the CD. Now, that's not available yet. So, because Will, who's also an artist, for those who don't know, is very particular about his artwork. So that could be a whole nother book of us arguing about how to get this CD produced. But anyway, it's in the works as well.
I might be worth the wait to go and get the CD just because I'd love to see some of his artwork.
Oh, well, I mean, he wanted the artwork's in the book.
Oh, awesome.
That's
okay.
All the art that he did is in the book, but as far as the CD cover and the liners and the little spleen thing, he's very particular. So there's nothing new art-wise in the cover, but he wants to make sure it's done nicely.
I see.
As opposed to letting me do it. So,
So it's definitely worth it, though, to buy the book so you get a hard copy and you get to see all the artwork there in the book, and then you get the audio version electronically, and you get some new content that's not in the book, and some Will Ryan music.
So but wait, Jeremy, there's more. There's also an option to download the Kindle. I put the Kindle version up on Amazon, so people who just want to have a look, maybe on their iPad or their phone, and don't really care about having a hard copy of the book. It's available that way, too.
Oh, well, there you go. So anyone
there who you go. So
doesn't like if the somebody, pages or something.
Exactly. Or if they just want everything electronic, they can download the audiobook, they can download the Kindle version, and I'm the one with the duties of trying to figure out if there's any way to package this stuff to make it more appealing to those who are interested. But right now, as we speak, Kindle version's available, printed copies available, and the downloadable audiobook should be available by the time this goes out over the airwaves.
And, of course, there will be links in the show notes, so make sure you follow them, click on through there, and get yourself a copy. I actually have a sample that I will share with you all. It's kind of a little ad they've put together, which I think was very funny. I was laughing when I listened to it. And so we'll just have everybody – well, I'll play that one when we say goodbye to Katie, which Katie's got some other things to go and do and everything, so we better say goodbye to Katie. So thanks for coming on the show and telling us about the audio version, Katie.
Oh, my pleasure. And I just, if anybody happens to be in Arizona, Will and I will be there to do a little reading of her book at the Crossroads Bookstore in Peoria, Arizona on May, now that I said it, I think it's the 14th, it's a Friday, 13th or 14th, whenever that is, a Friday night and Saturday at the bookstore. And so we'll have copies of her book and copies of the CD that we can autograph, and Will's going to play some of his music Friday night, so it'll be fun.
And I will try to send Lost Boy Eric Warren, who lives in Arizona, to go to that event and share it with us.
Well, we love Lost Boys, so...
Yes.
Yeah, have him introduce himself.
Yes, in fact, I forgot. We gave you a pixie name last time you were on the show, even, but I forgot what it was.
Oh, I did get a pixie name.
Yeah. Yes, your Flutter Voice. Pixie Flutter Voice.
Oh, I'm Flutter Voice.
Yes. It was from your own choosing, and it's a perfect name here.
Oh, Flutter Voice. Okay, I feel good now that I remember my pixie name.
You always have to remember that, because you got to remember to keep your pixie in your pocket.
That's right. Well, thank you so much. It was so nice talking to you. And if anybody has any questions, they can go to my website, the website voiceofyourchildhood.com, and email me. On Facebook, the official Katie Lee voice actor page, so there'll be information about the stuff there too. And come to Arizona and see us at the Crossroads Bookstore or in Cactus County.
Ah, and before I forget about this, they can also hear you doing the audio versions of They Have Candid Conversation with Connie, which has become a book series, which is based on your character on Adventures in Odyssey that one of the writers has been writing. They're kind of helpful books, I guess, for, like young teenage
girls. Young girls.
Young girls?
Yeah, well, adolescent, you know, maybe middle school or younger, maybe fifth, sixth grade, yeah, up through middle school.
So any parents that have a adolescent daughter, this mm-hmm. might be another good thing, and you can hear some more fun from Katie.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, even high schoolers. Yeah, I think that it's really nice, and I got to read the first one. I think there might be two, but I did the audio version of the first one. So thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah, I had almost forgotten that I was going to bring that up. All right.
Wow.
Yeah, we will talk to you next time because, of course, you're welcome anytime. If you got a new project, you just let us know.
I will. Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
What happens when you take two recognizable characters, one male?
Greetings and salutations, fellow Earthlings. I'm Will Ryan, and I play Eugene Meltzner.
And one female.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Lee, and I play Connie Kendall in Adventures in Odyssey.
Add a little sarcasm.
Because I've got better things to do with my time than to write a foreword for two people who can't even decide whose name should be listed first.
Some educational information.
Sesquipedalian is a person habituated to the employment of verbiage of notable heft.
A dash of mutual respect.
I was going to read the cover.
No, I'll read the cover.
Well, what? I can do it.
We want it to be good, though, right?
Excuse me?
Did you sneeze? I'll read the cover now.
What? It's my studio.
And combine these ingredients into a mission.
I intend to correct a commonly held, long-standing misapprehension on the part of the listenership of Adventures in Odyssey.
Oh, you want to straighten something out.
Indeed.
What do you have? Adventures in Oddity.
By Will Ryan and Katie Lee.
Katie Lee and Will Ryan.
Available April 1st. All right, Neverlanders, we have a very special guest again. This guy, I tell you, I have to make a confession. I've only been to Walt Disney World one time, and I did not know that this show existed at the time, and so I completely missed. But of course, once you've gone to one of the parks, you become completely obsessed with them. And so I started finding podcasts, and that's when I first heard a recording of this show, and I was completely blown away on how much fun it was, and even how much fun it came through audibly, even not being in the room, of just how much fun this is. So I was like, I gotta tell people about this. You know, so I started telling people when they're making their trips, make sure you go and see Yeehaw Bob. And so I saw here on Facebook that Yeehaw Bob Jackson has a new recording that he's got, a new album, and you've got several after looking at the website, but a new album that you've just recently released, and I wanted to kind of help out and say, well, we got to let people know he's got original compositions. You got to check it out. So I thought it would be great to have him on here to spend some time with us, and so here he is, the one and the only Yeehaw Bob Jackson.
Hello, everybody. This is Yeehaw Bob Jackson, Neverland Podcast. We love you, Neverland Podcast. We love you, Neverland Podcast. It's true, Neverland Podcast. We love you.
Yeah!
Hi, everybody. This is Yeehaw Bob Jackson from Port Orleans Riverside, Walt Disney World, and I'm so glad to be here on the Neverland Podcast talking to my good friend Jeremy. Jeremy, thank you for inviting me onto your show.
Oh, well, thanks so much for coming on. You really do embody the young at heart, positive attitude spirit that we try to encourage people to have. You know, I'm pushing 40, but I try to act like I'm about 10 years old most of the time if I can get away with it. And I saw on your resume, you say you've been married 36 years. I say that's ridiculous because you can't be any more than about 20, right?
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I've been married a long time, and we're just still rolling along, and it's all good. I've been there at Port Orleans Riverside. I'm starting into my 19th year. I've been on that little stage 19 years, and every year is just a hoot. Every night, every show is lots of fun.
And you just seem to have boundless energy.
I do. I love to entertain. It's my passion. Port Orleans, I've been there for almost 19 years. It's free to get in. I'm there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The show starts at 8:30. Kids are welcome all night long. And I want to invite everybody down to the show because we have a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. You do sing-alongs and play a lot of boogie-woogie tunes and a lot of songs actually that people know. It's just a perfect song choice because everybody knows the songs. And so you can sing along. And if you don't know it, you can fake it.
That's right. We love to entertain. We love kids. And we love to do those Disney songs. And it's just a great, fun time. It's every night is a hoot at that show.
So I saw that you started playing piano at a very young age. So when did it really kick in that you became a huge music fan and it became your passion?
It's all I've ever done since I was a young man is to play that piano. I've traveled abroad, and my wife was a singer, and we lived for years on the road. And we moved to Orlando in 1992, and I started working out there at Disney not too long after that. I used to play at the Diamond Horseshoe Show. I played Coke Corner. I was a sub keyboard player at the Tarzan Show. I played all the parks, almost all the shows. I played the Hoop-De-Doo. And I've had my own show there at Port Orleans now for almost 19 years.
My goodness. You've got a very long history with Disney then.
Love every second of it. It's a big hoot.
Oh, of course. And I see that you majored in composition back in Cincinnati in university.
I did. I was a music composition major. I love to write my own songs. I've got a new CD out, My Sunset Sky. There's plenty places to find online where you can order it, download it. I've got a YouTube channel. You're welcome to listen to all the songs right there. I'm making videos. I'm transcribing all the songs out, so I'll have a book of my original piano music. So I should have that done here by the end of the year. And I'll start recording again, and I've got 10 different CDs out. Three of them are original music CDs. I've got a Disney sing-along CD. I've got a CD of the show. Got a gospel piano. I've got two ragtime pianos. I got a children's CD. So I've done lots of recording, and you can find all those CDs from my website.
Oh, and I have been enjoying your YouTube channel. I have checked out whenever you've posted up some new songs, and it's very, very good stuff. And it's anyone who's maybe used to your boogie woogie and fun, you can write these really just. Sometimes melancholy, sometimes a little cheerful, but just beautiful pieces of music.
I love to write, and I'm glad you enjoy it. I hope we can share that with all your listeners, because it's what I love to do.
Oh, yeah, and I do definitely enjoy music, and I think I've gained more appreciation for the piano through the years, because it's probably one of the most versatile instruments, because I used to play trumpet, and I tried to learn guitar. But piano, I mean, you got multiple octaves in there, and the talent it takes to have one hand doing one thing and the other hand doing something else blows my mind entirely. And I have no idea how people get this good. I mean, I've even got to speak with Tom Amin. He does a lot of original composition and also likes to do his own spin on like Star Wars music and stuff like that, and had him on. And he just blows me away as well.
Well, good. Music is a fun thing to participate in.
Mm-hmm. Especially, I used to play marching band, so that was my fun. That was supposed to be the official band nerd type of thing, but I there's just a joy in music and playing music and getting to play it before others that I completely understand where you're coming from on that.
Well, I love to play, and I've got a bugle. I blow this bugle on stage, and it was Christmas time. They had a big Christmas tree up in the lobby. And they had these plastic bugles as ornaments. And I just took one with me into the lounge one night. This was a number of years ago. And I started blowing on that thing and made everybody laugh. So now I've got a bugle on stage with me. And we all just hoot and holler and make lots of noise. So
every night's a party.
Every night is a party.
Now, definitely, I want to jump in here and talk a little bit about some of these CDs you have here. I'm very interested in this gospel favorites. You've hit pretty much every song I grew up singing in church.
Well, good. I've been playing at the same little church here in Orlando for almost 22 years. And I love to play those old hymns, and those are the title is a little misconceiving. I should have said I'm playing my favorites, so instead of your favorites. But I love those old songs, and I love to play those old songs, and I'm still playing those old songs every Sunday in church.
Yeah, well, I think your title works. It's some of my favorites too.
Good.
You learn to appreciate it more. The church I go to now, we do a lot of sort of a contemporary mix with some of the old hymns. But even when we play an old hymn, they've modernized it so much to where I don't even recognize it. So I don't know what I'm singing half the time. But I've heard you have on your website a sample of How Great Thou Art. And you've added that sense of boogie-woogie fun, even, it sounds like, to How Great Thou Art. And yet still, you know, just playing it beautifully.
I love to play. I don't hide my light under a bushel. I love to play. I pull out all the stops every Sunday. And if you're in town, by golly, you're welcome to come up to our little church. It's about 18 miles from Port Orleans Riverside, but we could certainly get you the directions and invite you up to church on Sunday. Anybody wants to come.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely going to be on now my list of things to do. Because my wife has never been to a Disney park, so it's one of my goals. I got to get her to a Disney park, and I got to definitely see a Yeehaw Bob show. And then Sunday morning, there we go. We'll go check it out.
I hope you do. You're more than welcome.
So when you're writing your original pieces, what inspires you? Is it things going on in your life, or is there things you just kind of think about? Or I mean, how does it come to you?
It's just a spontaneous thing. I'll find a little kernel of a phrase or a song or a tune or something, and I'll just start experimenting with it and keep pulling this little string until I've come up with a song. I try to come up with a beginning and an end and maybe a core bridge to try to find a change of keys you just take your time with it and it just kind of evolves.
You kind of feel like sometimes you get to tell a story through music?
Absolutely, absolutely. In my videos, I love to try to come up with these visuals to go with my songs, and you can find all that on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, and it's a very good channel. I highly recommend it. Like I said, I've been checking it out, and they're very, very nice. It's very relaxing to listen to and just kind of check in the views, the visuals. It's definitely good stuff to kind of listen when you're just trying to relax at home, or you got a little bit of work you need to do at home, and that kind of thing, just something to kind of listen to in the background or to just sit and relax. I enjoy piano music. We'll just say that.
Thank you, Jeremy. I'm glad you like.
Yeah, so I'm definitely looking at a lot of these CDs here. Now, do you mainly sell, I guess, through your own website? But I was wondering, do you have this available on iTunes as well?
Absolutely. Some the original songs are all available on Amazon, iTunes, and the CDs are all available there at my performances.
And soon to have all of the sheet music available.
Yep, I'm writing all those original songs out.
Oh my goodness. And I'm also looking at your website, all these fun t-shirts you have.
Yeah, I've got lots of t-shirts. I've been doing it for a long time, and I just keep coming up with these things, and people love it, and they buy them, and off we go.
Yeah, it's definitely probably one of the more fun shows because, you know, everybody always thinks about doing things inside the park. You know, that's, you know, even when I went with my friend of mine, my first trip, everything we thought to do was inside the park and then maybe going to downtown Disney at the time. But it was, you know, it's been later on. I found out all the different fun things you can do outside of the parks that if you really don't experience some of it, you really miss out. And so I've been trying to, like I said, I was telling people, you got to go to the Yeehaw Bob show. He's in one of the hotels. Go check it out. Ask around. You'll find it. I'm sure a bus will take you.
Yep, it's easy to find, and you just ask anybody, and they'll point you over towards the Port Orleans Riverside with the Yeehaw Bob Show, four nights a week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The show starts at 8:30.
Do you have a particular type of music that is your absolute favorite?
Well, I love to entertain. I love to get people involved in the show. Everything I do in that show has something for the audience to be involved in. Mm-hmm. And we march around the room. We jump up and down. We roll around on the floor. We just carry on like we don't know any better.
which is great. Because I saw that, you know, you do have a CD full of Boogie, Rags, and Stride, and you mentioned in here that you've played some Fats Waller, some James B. Johnson, and Jelly Roll Morton. Now, Fats Waller I've heard of. I'm not familiar with the other two, though.
Oh, they're all very popular, very instrumental in the early jazz. Jelly Roll Morton lived down around in New Orleans around the 1920s. James B. Johnson was out of New York City, and they both had very distinctive styles and very interesting. And it's a lot of both of those guys are lots of fun to play, and I still play their music. I don't really get to incorporate it there in the show as often, but I do practice it and play it at home a lot.
Ah, yeah. See, I enjoy music from that time period mainly, I think, because of my grandmother. Before I started kindergarten, I was over at her house all the time, and especially around Christmas time. And we'd be listening to Bing Crosby. And, you know, of course, this is later than the 30s, but, you know, Bing Crosby, Perry Como. And so I kind of grew up listening to that. So as I've gotten older, I go to the library and I find these old radio shows. And most of the old radio shows would have some sort of musical act that would come on. And so I've gotten to hear, and I can't think of the name of the sisters now. The Andrews Sisters become some of my favorites. I think there was just that time in music. It seems, you know, that was your main entertainment, and there was so much more talent than what I find a lot of people today have. You know, that now it's whatever's a marketable type of thing, and it's like the almost factory that we put it out. That when you have the truly great musicians come along, it is really nice to hear. Like, oh, look, here's somebody who actually has some serious talent. And with you, you know, it's nice that people can actually come and see you and have some talent on display and have some fun. So I really appreciate how you've got that old school style.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. James B. Johnson, mm-hmm. and Fats Waller and Jelly Roll Morton, all their music was very fast, furious, and challenging to play. Very left hand oriented, and it's complicated. And it's just been a real challenge. I love to play that old early style of music.
Oh, yeah. That's some of the best stuff right there. Definitely.
Well, Jeremy, I want to thank you for inviting me onto your show. I want to invite everybody out to the Port Orleans Riverside. This is Yeehaw Bob Jackson giving a big shout out to all my friends at the Neverland Podcast. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Jeremy, thank you so much. Everybody, have a great one. Bye, everybody.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Bye-bye, Jeremy.
Okay, well, I think that was probably more fun than we could hold in 1 week. What do you think?
Oh, most definitely.
But, of course, we invite you to come back next week, and we thank you all for coming with us. So, from the Spider-Pan Jeremy and...
from Lost Boy Eric.
Goodbye, and, you know, keep a pixie in your pocket and stuff. Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page,
a link to visit our shop,
and much more.
And please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
Or email us at podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
If you email us a Lost Boy
or Pixie
nickname with a reason why you chose that name, you can become an official Neverlander.
Girls are too clever to get lost, so we are naturally magical pixies.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPcast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support in keeping the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Man Productions. God bless.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.